And we are back. It's 5:40, and you're listening to Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3. We just heard about transit and the municipal election, but Montrealers are facing a much more immediate standstill when it comes to public transportation, with the STM announcing this morning they're cutting 300 jobs. The news comes as both the union representing drivers and station attendants and the one repping maintenance workers prepare to strike next month. The STM's 4,500 drivers in attendance say they'll walk off the job this November 1st, 15th, and 16th. The network's 2,500 maintenance workers have a much longer strike planned. Salary, a sticking point for both unions, as well as work schedules. The Public Transit Agency, meanwhile, says it's under pressure to cut costs, and the layoffs will trim $56 million from the 2026 budget at a time when the province is putting some heat on agencies across Quebec to push more work to the private sector. Meredith Alusi-Jones is a public transit and urban planning researcher at McGill with a background in civil engineering. Meredith Alusi-Jones, welcome back to the show to talk about what the heck is going on.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's my first question. What is going on here?
That's a great one to start with.
Yeah, because we saw a strike in the summer around Grand Prix. We saw a strike very recently, and these have been kind of partial strikes due to the fact that public transit's an essential service. And now we might be getting a really long strike next month, not just from the maintenance workers who've been the ones on strike, but from the drivers and station attendants. Why is everybody unhappy who works for the STM?
I think this has been going this direction for a while, and it's just the culmination of a lot of frustration from both ends. Obviously, public transit took a huge hit during the pandemic. They're not able to make as much money from revenue from the fares because less people are taking transit, as well as a lot of COVID relief funds that was given to the STM and other transit agencies were pulled back. And as you mentioned, the government now, you know, putting pressure on them to make up this deficit. So obviously, no one is really going about it the best way. It's really impacting users. It's impacting people's ability to get around and their ability to continue to use public transit. This is not a good look for the mode on its own. It's not just that people would be frustrated with the maintenance workers or with the drivers or with the STM, but considering that public transit does not get them to where they need to go, this is a huge problem going forward that is really going to be impacted by these new strikes now in November.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about the impacts of the strikes. I mean, it's kind of anecdotal. I've interviewed people and I've spoken on social. I've seen what people have been saying on social media, and you know, people are saying, "Why are we the users of this service? Why are we the ones who are paying the price?" Some people are mad at the workers. Some people are mad at the STM. You know, in terms of just the negotiations, you look at what the unions are saying. They're saying we've met with management over 100 times. Is there any way out of this that you're seeing, or are we just staring down more and more strikes and two sides that are never going to come together?
I mean, it's really hard to say, honestly, because obviously history proves that they're not able to come to an agreement. It's only getting worse. The strike is getting longer. The bus drivers and, you know, they're coming on board. And I think that it has a lot to do with how public transit is perceived as a service by the government, by its users, and by people who work for the STM and so on. It's, you know, it was seen as an essential service during COVID, and everyone was really, it was really important to give money to public transit so that service workers and essential workers could come into work. And now that's kind of shifted, and it's like, well, why aren't you making any more money? And it does eventually come onto the users, like the people working for the STM or the maintenance workers or the drivers. They only have this tool to negotiate. But if it's not being taken seriously, if it's just like, well, people will find an alternative, there's not going to be an agreement that comes to fruition that I can see right now. It sounds pessimistic, but I'm just looking at what I'm seeing on the news now.
And, you know, I think the backdrop of this is that the province is not wanting to foot the bill. They're saying, okay, you guys have record deficits, public transit agencies. We gave you all this money during COVID. You thought it would last. It's not going to last. You need to find ways to cut costs. And this time last year, there was a big public transit audit that the province made these agencies do. And they said, you know, you got to find ways to find efficiencies, to work together with different public transit agencies when there's overlap, to go private with certain services. Obviously, the union's not happy about this. Genevieve Guilbeault, who was the minister at the time, said, well, you got to go tough on the unions. From a research point of view, you talked about the valuing of public transit by the province, which is the biggest funder. What does that look like in concrete terms? How much do we actually fund public transit? How much do they make versus how much should we expect a public transit agency to make off its users? Help me break that down.
So in general, when you're looking at where public transit is getting their money to operate, it comes from mainly users. So people, when you go on the bus and you pay that $3.75, that amasses a certain revenue. And then there is the money that the provincial government gives to kind of help subsidize that, because the fares alone are not enough to run the service. And then there are some other sources, such as car registration, which went up a couple of years ago to kind of try and quell this deficit a little bit, and other sources like that. So the issue is mainly that the amount of revenue coming from users is lower than it was pre-pandemic. It's now around 30%, where it used to be 40% before the pandemic. And it's seen as a service. It's seen as you're using public transit, therefore you have to pay for it. Why us being the provincial government would have to subsidize a service that you are using. So it is the intention around it that is creating this issue, that it's a vicious cycle that, okay, well, cut service, make it more efficient. But then people are like, well, I'm not happy with this cut in service and I'm going to stop using it. And then so on and so forth, the revenue goes down, the subsidies go up. And it's just a vicious circle that needs to be stopped at a certain point before we go too far.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess the thing that you do hear from advocates of finding efficiencies, let's say, is that the ARTM, which is the regional authority, has spent unwisely. New premises, projects that some have called white elephant projects, which are, you know, like just things that don't make sense as an investment. How seriously should we be taking those claims?
I think it's a case-by-case basis. Obviously, when you're working with a limited amount of money as public transit, whether it be the RRTM or the STM, or they have to invest in things that work for the users, in theory. And case-by-case basis, it might not pan out that way. It might, you know, they might have tried something and it didn't work. And that doesn't mean that we should not trust their ability to, you know, give money to the right project, quote unquote. But it does mean that the, you know, cutting of frequent service or looking at privatizing paratransit is not necessarily the right direction. It's more taking a step back, looking at it as a whole. How can we look at public transit in a different way and get money for it in a different way?
Yeah. Speaking of money, I mean, all of the main candidates for mayor have proposed more public transit. Nobody is saying less. They're just saying they want different things for Ensemble de Montréal. They're talking tramways. For Projet Montréal, it's express bus service and bus service at night and things like that. You know, everybody wants more transit. Are they going to have the money to pay for it?
That's a great point. So the other source of money beside the provincial government and the revenue from the fares is the municipal government in a large part. And they are responsible when they propose these projects, they are responsible in the great part for coming up with the money for this. For example, Valérie Plante promised the free fares for older adults, and she had to come up with the $34 million that it was going to cost every year to make transit free for older adults on the island of Montreal. So proposing all these projects, I love to see it. it. There's a lot of projects that are really important and, you know, really make sure that people who are maybe in lower income neighborhoods or more, you know, less accessible neighborhoods have the option now to take public transit if these plans were to come to fruition. But the issue always remains with where are you going to find the money to do this? Especially, you know, buses tend to be a bit more an affordable project compared to a tramway, just because you have to build new infrastructure and so on. But it is admirable to look at these projects that they're proposing, but I'm more looking at, well, how are you going to fund this? If we're already in a deficit, if we're already cutting service for what we do have, how are we going to get this off the ground?
All right. Well, we'll have to end it there. But anybody listening, you know, we'll be keeping you updated with the latest strike announcements. But for now, expect service to not be happening this November 1st. So if you've got big Halloween plans, take note. Meredith Alusi-Jones, thanks so much for coming on CKUT.
Thanks for having me.
For CKUT, I'm Jules Bujal with the Local Journalism Initiative.